housing lender.
Everybody, this is the KFK Outdoor Show. I'm Bob Sims. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Well, welcome to winter, finally. What a week, huh? And I guess it's not quite over. A lot of snow up in the mountains. I just heard those chain controls. I just can't imagine. Driving with chains isn't fun. You got to maintain a speed of about, 45 miles an hour. And that even that's fast when you have chains on. Things can happen. They can fly off, hit the fender of your car. Anyway, from Colfax on 80 to the Nevada state line, that is a long way to have chains on. So if you can avoid that, unless you have a lot of patience, my goodness. They got a lot of snow up there. I'll be interested to see what the water content and everything. It's made a huge difference in our snowpack, without a doubt. Now, of course, all the water agencies will tell you differently, but they always are begging for more water, no matter how much water we have. You know how that is. But it's good news because of this. It ensures us that we're not going to go into a devastating type drought. We have enough snowpack now to keep the streams flowing in a healthy manner for most of the summer. And we're not done yet. So, and we don't know what the effects are in the main river systems in the valley, like the Sacramento River, because, we had some really heavy downpours, and usually those affect the creeks coming in to the Sacramento Valley, north of Sacramento, on each side of the Sacramento River. But that water, it takes a while to get down to the Sacramento. So, but if the Sacramento River would come up and muddy up a little bit, that doesn't do much for striper fishing right at the time, but it will make striper fishing better when it starts to clear, because they just get ready to move. They get active. Sturgeon fishing, we're looking right now, is this rain? Rob Reimers has been catching fish for almost 3 weeks up above Grimes, which is a little early to be that consistent up there. Now, is this rain, that river comes up, and is it going to move those fish further up the river? Is it going to bring more fish up? Well, probably yes on both those counts, but we'll check with them later on. So, and then down the Delta, I don't know what the conditions were yesterday afternoon. I know there's got to be some debris in the water, but Barry Canavera will fill us in on that. I know there hasn't been a heck of a lot of people out fishing the last few days. If they had been, they're crazy, right? But you can sneak out between these fronts. And if you can sneak out, put up with a little light rain, and just keep away from the wind, you still have a chance to catch fish. That's really true all over, but especially in the Delta. Now, we're going to cover some striper fishing that we haven't talked about yet this year, and that's some stripers in the McCallamy. They're way up in the system. So I don't know what they're doing there right now, but they're there. That's all that matters. and it will give you an idea, if they're there, where else they might be further up the systems. So, you just never know. You got to go find out and follow your nose. Well, what we're going to do today throughout the program with several of our people we talk to is get their opinions on how they stay warm and dry and comfortable in these adverse weather conditions. And you can do it. And, you know, technology has come so far. The days of just layering, I mean, when I was a kid, it was how many clothes you could put on. And then the final thing was your dad's old overcoat that he doesn't use anymore, right? Well, times have changed quite a bit since then. And we're going to be talking to people about everything from boots to socks and how to layer socks. And basically your base layers, you know, what kind of long underwear and how much difference does it make? And even a little something that shocked me is the gloves that the fly fishermen use on Pyramid Lake. Now, you can imagine how cold that gets. In the middle of winter, you're wading out up to your waist. You're casting a fly line. Your hands are constantly on that fly line. I mean, the water temperature is probably in the 40s. The air temperature is in the 20s. You're freezing. How do you stay comfortable in that? Well, we're going to find out. So, and speaking of that, we'll talk to Doug Ouellette about the fishing at Pyramid Lake. Nasty weather means good fishing at Pyramid Lake. Pardee, people sneaking in between the storms are doing pretty good at Pardee. And it looks like the previous concessionaire there had some extra fish, and he dumped them in the lake last fall before the lake closed. And I think those are a lot of the upriver fish they're catching now. But both trout and kokanee at Pardee, trout and crappie at Comanche, again, sneaking out between the storms. That's what you're getting. So we'll get a report there. There's a new owner for Clear Lake Outdoors over in Lakeport. Troy Bella and Dave Drabick sold the shop to a gentleman named Dave Burris, and he's going to join us today briefly, give a little report on Clear Lake and what it does to the fishing with these storms. American River steelhead, well, storms are good for steelhead. And maybe, the fishing there isn't great, but people are catching mostly half-pounders, meaning steelhead, you know, let's say 15 to 20 inches, okay? That's nice. They're a lot of fun. And so, but a few bigger fish are mixed in. Will this rain bring some more fish? You know, every March and into April, we get what we call these bluebacks. It's a smaller strain of steelhead, but they fight like crazy. They'll get up to about 4 or 5 pounds. Would that bring them up early? We don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Today is the opening of a special speck goose season. It's a 5-day season up in northeastern California. Kurt Portocarrero was sitting there last night watching thousands of snows and specks hovering over this land he's hunting up in Fall River. He will he'll join us this morning and talk about that. Also, how they finished up last week kokanee fishing at Whiskeytown Reservoir. He was out with Richie Height, who owns Paulina Peak Tackle. We had Richie on the air from the boat on Whiskeytown, and at 7:45 last week, they had 3 fish. Well, I know how they ended up, and you will too as soon as we get to that portion of the program. And then steelhead fishing. We'll kind of have the results of what happened last week up on the Smith and Chetco River for the Rowdy Creek Hatchery Derby. Nothing to really brag about. Kind of unusual. The good news is the day after that derby, they got some rain. I think in the day after that, the Chetco was wide open. So you go from practically nothing to wide open. Amazing, isn't it? We'll have that. Rob Reimers will be calling us about the latest on the sturgeon up the Sacramento River. Harry Morse from the Department of Fish and Wildlife will join us at 7 o'clock. There's lots of new news on what salmon fishing is going to be like in 2018. And Harry's got the details for us. Don Paganelli will talk to us later in that hour about fishing in the city. And actually, there's a form of fishing in the city at Howe Park today. It's something that the county charges for. I'm not sure the details. But Don will join us to tell us about that, but mostly about winter conditions and how to catch bass in them, okay? All that and more coming up in the next 2 hours and 45 minutes on the KFBK Outdoor Show. Thanks for being here.
.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Well, you know, there's some diehards down in the lower system. They'll go out and anchor in a spot, sturgeon fishing, and if the wind isn't too bad, they can bundle up inside their boat. You know, they have side curtains on the top and stuff like that, and they'll just stick it out for 7 or 8 hours, hoping, you know, to, for that little window of opportunity. Now, that's one way to do it. You talk about, you know, the catch and release sturgeon derby that happens every year earlier. We talked about that. Those guys, seemed like most of those guys who catch more fish per person than any other group I know of, they don't get a bite in a half hour. They move. Well, you know, what do you do in this kind of weather? It's nasty out there. You're kind of comfortable in your boat, and you still have a chance to catch a fish. But hopefully, this weather sure can't hurt the sturgeon fishing, I'll tell you that. And let's get an opinion from Captain Barry Canavero, the fish hookers. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
So any effects of any of this rain felt down in your neck of the woods, Barry?
As of right now, no. The water temperature yesterday was 49.8, and it was still crystal clear on the Sacramento River. Mm. But there is a few, some trash coming. You know, we had these great big Alco tides, and, you know, last Saturday we trolled, and we had flat, calm weather most of the day on the Sacramento River, on the Old Sac.
Mm-hmm.
They had quite a bit of wind down below. It was flat in the morning, and then it got really windy. Well, it got windy up here, too, but it doesn't bother you at all. But when it was flat, what we saw was, and this is my theory, I don't know, we saw a lot of the steelhead that they had planted on the feather coming through and jumping. And
now this was when?
This was last Saturday.
Okay.
And the river was full of fish, and we didn't do that good. We only got a few fish, but we saw them until the ripple got on the water where you couldn't see it anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's what it was. In my eyes, that's what it looked like to me. And I said, oh, man. But then on the next day, you didn't see but maybe one or two, and the fish that we saw the day before were gone.
Huh.
Now, we had that big outgo tide. Now, whether I think that's drawn those smolt down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 'cause, you know, like yesterday.
Well, that's what it's supposed you know, once they start going down, they don't waste too much time, do they?
Right. Well, I know. And that's what I'm saying. One day they were there, the next day they weren't. Now, but, you know, what that's going to do to you now, we can't talk in a week. You know, when you give a fishing report right now, a week ago doesn't mean a thing after all this rain.
Nothing.
I think we did not fish all week long, and there was a couple of days we probably could have if we had work, but people see the weather forecast and they're not going to want to go. But I think we're probably going to start looking up the Liberty area cache prospect this week, maybe tomorrow, and see if those sturgeon made a move. You keep telling me about Rob up there catching fish up there. Well, they got to come through here to get to there. And
who
only had one
who catches
shot
fish
at him.
Up, who catches fish up there?
I said Rob Reiner catching fish up in the Sacramento.
Yeah, it's been
okay, well,
unusually good
here
up
to
there.
Get to there. Yeah, but I can't tell you that we have enough fish for me to take six people out to fish up here yet. We still are been going down below. Now, today and tomorrow is the Addison Derby, the one that they catch and release, and they add up all the different sizes and, you know, the ones that caught tons and tons of fish in the last couple of derbies. So that'll give us some kind of an idea. Won't tell us where because they won't tell you anything. They won't tell you what they're using. They all got their secret row bait, you know, and all this stuff. So they don't tell you anything except for the numbers of fish that they catch, and they have to film every one of them so you know they're not lying. So you'll get a count of what's around. We know that the sturgeon fishing in the lower system has been pretty good. Even in the bad weather, one six-pack boat yesterday got eight fish.
Hmm.
He had four, four or five in the slot, a couple oversized. No shakers, though, but either in the slot or oversized. And a couple of days before that, he got 11. So, but that's one boat. There was hardly any other boats out. And, you know, and those guys, you know, they won't tell you, but they got their secret row bait, whatever it is. Yeah. I have no idea. Yeah. I'd like to know. But they won't tell you a thing. But they are getting fish. And you know, none of these guys are lying to you. I mean, there's the guys that need, you know, to talk about radio fish and stuff like that. These guys are actually catching them, and the pictures are there.
Are they fishing deep water, Barry?
No, they're not. They're fishing, from what I can tell, this guy here is fishing off of Buckner, Point Buckner, in the cut. That's where I would say he is. Wherever he is, he's not using that much weight, so he's not in that deep of water. The pictures that I saw, he had maybe 8 ounces of weight. You know, when you're fishing that deep water on these big tides, you're using a pound of weight almost, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. So we know he's in probably in shallower water. But whatever, wherever he is, you know, he is catching fish. But, I mean, got to give him credit. He was out in that crappy weather yesterday with six guys.
Absolutely.
I mean, I had none of my customers would have went out. I mean, it rained pretty darn hard in Rio Vista yesterday, off and on. At one time, I went to the boat, and from Rio Vista went over the bridge and on up to Isleton, and it was so black, and the clouds were so heavy. I was, holy criminy, are we going to make it there? I just, you know, I wanted to go up. I wanted to know what the water temperature was and if it cleared yet or got any color to it. And so far it hasn't got any color as of yesterday. I can't tell you today yet. But we're probably going to look at more sturgeon fishing, maybe a little striper bait fishing. I got a feeling that our trolling might be slowing down a little bit until, you know, it takes about, once this water gets here, and I mean, it's not going to come from the rivers. I mean, from the dams. I think it's going to come from the streams, like it always does. And it's a typical march. It's going to dirty up the water, and then once the water starts moving around, turning around and stuff on the river, it'll clear back up. But when that happens, all you got to do is keep going downriver until you get a mixture of the dirty and the clean water, and that's where the fish will be. So, you know, the West Bank and all that area down there, and if you're sturgeon fishing and striper fishing, I think off of Sherman and on down into Collinsville, Chain Island, where it's been happening for the last 3-4 weeks, probably going to be the place to be.
Yeah, and last week we got a report of a bunch of fish in the lower Napa River. Not that the fishing was great, some were caught, but they were talking about how many fish they were marking. So that just told me those fish are staging just like they do down in Suisun Bay and stuff. And you get something like this. I mean, I don't think there's much doubt something's going to happen here in the next week.
Yeah, I think so. We're not going to, you know, we're pretty good starting, you know, the rest of today you're going to get a little more rain.
Yeah.
Not much wind, though. And then from tomorrow to next Thursday, we don't know after Thursday, they say it's going to rain. And then by next Saturday and Sunday, it's going to be 65, 68 degrees. And I don't see any wind up that, but I mean, you know, things can change overnight. But I know that the next few days are very fishable, and it'll get some guys out. We'll get much better reports next week. For
mm-hmm.
sure.
Yeah.
So,
well,
that's what we're planning on doing is probably run up and check that out. We've been waiting for that to happen up there, and it hasn't happened yet. So. I'm talking about sturgeon going up to cash.
But you know what's confusing about this is, yeah, we haven't had a lot of rain this winter. I mean, what, none in February or whatever it was. And but look at all the 5 years of drought that those fish still went up in that area. How come all of a sudden this year they're not up in that area?
Well, I still think it's because of all the water we had last year blew them all down. And, I mean, there's still a lot of fish in San Pablo Bay, and this is what we needed to get them moving, is to get another push of some fresh water, because last time we had the rain, and then we had that really nice stretch of weather in February, those fish were there, we were catching them in the Sacramento River, trolling, and they weren't just little tiny fish like we were catching in Broad Slough and stuff like that. We were catching some decent fish.
Yeah.
And the same thing's going to happen. I mean, I'm back on target for April 1st.
Yeah. Go troll the Yarlton Bridge, huh?
You got it.
Of course, you did that a month ago and caught fish.
I know. But those are the fish that a lot of times we miss because the river is muddy, and they go on up. So I haven't heard too much of the stripers up above. I see all the guides from Yuba City area and all are all heading for the Delta or running two trips a day. Good luck. I don't know where they find the people and the fish to do that. I don't have the right reason to charge $200 and don't know whether we're going to catch a fish or not.
Yeah.
But they're coming down. For what reason, I don't know, because we live here and they're not here yet. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this week should at least be a change, Barry. I mean, what the heck?
Oh, yeah, we got some freshwater, sweet water, we call it, in the system. We're going to see a change, and that's why I say next weekend will be a good report, and I think then we're probably set for the rest of the season, you know.
Yeah.
We can do a couple of combo trips, and we can fish both ways.
Sure.
It's nothing but positive. I mean, you need the rain, and we needed it, and, you know, we got what we wanted. Now, let's don't blow us out and give us too much more.
Okay, well, good luck this week, and we'll talk next Saturday.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Barry Canavero, Fishhookers Sport Fishing, to book a trip. Things are going to get warmed up here a little bit. Call Barry at 916-777-6498. When we get back, we're going to check steelhead way up north and the first of our installments on how to stay warm in this nasty weather. Plus, we'll talk about a invasive species called nutria that could be affecting the San Joaquin Valley. Don't go away. It was on the front page of the Bee last week, this thing called nutria. It's an invasive species. It's a rodent from South America. Last year, remember, Scott Laseth was I think down Louisiana or something, and that's one of the things he cooked on the Dead Meat Show was nutria. Well, anyway, they're in California. This is I don't know what they weigh, maybe 15 or 20 pounds, but they can produce rapidly. They can become pregnant within 48 hours after giving birth. They can have up to a dozen in their litter. They burrow into levees. They destroy wetlands. They eat all the vegetation. It's a very, very serious problem because now they have one wildlife biologist from the Department of Fish and Wildlife trying to trap them with these live traps because you can't use, leg hole traps in California. So he's caught several, but, they've been discovered, down in Merced County and Gustine in that area. And here's what the officials... the Department of Fish and Wildlife say they know they need to act fast to stop a major infestation. Within 5 years, the state estimates nearly a quarter million nutria could be chewing their way through what's left of the state's wetlands and digging holes in California's vast network of irrigation canals and flood control levees. Other states have spent tens of millions of dollars fighting nutria. They say... this animal needs to be controlled now. We have a limited window of opportunity. But the best agency to do this is an agency called Wildlife Services. It's a federal agency. They are very controversial because they are very effective in environmentalists and animal rights groups. Don't want anything to do with them. But... the Department of Fish and Game officials, Fish and Wildlife officials, hardly would even discuss using them. And this is what the fallacy is. The Wildlife Services, they hired them to get rid of millions of nutria in Chesapeake Bay. They were so effective. They used like nutria sniffing dogs and things like that. They were so effective. They killed actually more than 14,000 nutria. So effective that they haven't seen a nutria there in over 2 years. Look at the danger this poses in California. Once you get up to big numbers, I mean, it's devastation time. However, the Department of Fish and Wildlife, headed by Charlton Bonham, who we know has an affiliation with the Humane Society of the United States, the largest anti-hunting agency in the world, is sensitive to the animal rights activists and environmental groups and admits they hold political sway over California's wildlife agency. And I'm just going to leave it at that. This is a perfect example of how environmentalists don't think things through, and because they don't, we could have a disaster on our hands because somebody that heads up a State Department hesitates to do the right thing. Let's see how this plays out. Okay, I talked to Darren Rowe up at Rowe Outfitters out of Klamath Falls about steelhead and also how he stays warm in these cold winter months. Darren, there's a speck season opening tomorrow in California in the northeast zone. I guess it's been open up in Oregon for quite a while, huh?
Yeah, we open up towards the end of, right after our general season closes, then our speck and white bird season opens up.
So you've been hunting how long, a month and a half?
Yeah, we actually started on the 14th of February clients.
Oh, February, okay.
We've been shooting birds every day since then. It hasn't been barn burner every day, but it's been good.
So, it can't be wide open every single day, but it's been consistent, though, huh?
It's been pretty consistent. I mean, we had a couple 60-bird days and then some 2-bird days, so, I mean, you know.
Yeah, they do have a mind of their own sometimes. Now, we haven't talked for a couple of weeks, but you felt back then that the winter steelhead were down below Grants Pass and they should be moving in any time. Has that happened up in the upper Rogue?
They are up and they are in.
Oh, that's good news. Good news.
Yeah.
So
this last storm.
That did not. Are there fish sporadic all the way from Grants Pass clear on up?
They are. They're spread out everywhere.
Is this just the kind of the beginning of it?
It is. You know, it'll go through April. We'll still have fresh fish all the way through April.
Okay. And the Umpqua, how's that fishing now? That should be just as good.
It is the same. Very, very good.
Not have the fish moved in numbers up above I-5? Because everybody earlier was fishing down below.
We're still fishing down below. It's not quite red hot up top yet.
Okay. Well, you always said it doesn't get going until March up there, and we're only 2 days into March, so
right.
We'll see what happens. Hey, listen, you're just in the things we're talking about, and we're talking about on the program today, ways to keep warm in the outdoors so we can spend a little more time there, be more comfortable. You know, you're out steelhead fishing sometimes. My goodness, it gets freezing. You're going to be you're goose hunting in the snow. Everything you do up there in the Klamath Basin in the winter is cold weather. How do you stay warm? Let's start with the feet.
Well, you know, I mean, too many people just throw on a couple pairs of socks and that'll help. But you really need to throw on wool socks. You got to wear wool. I don't care if you think that you're allergic to it or it's scratchy. You got to wear wool. That's the only game saver on your feet. And then, you know, insulated boots from there on up, depending on how cold it is out.
Do you like a small sock underneath the wool sock?
I do. I like a smaller, they have thinner wool socks and then a heavy wool sock over the top of that.
Okay. Just as long as we don't get our too tight in the boot.
Well, there's an old saying, cotton kills. So if you wear cotton next to your skin, you will hold moisture there and you can... from it.
You don't want to wear cotton if there's a drop of moisture in the air. So what about the base layer, long underwear, upper and lower?
You know, it's really started in the mountaineering world. Those guys started doing base layers a long time ago, and then finally us rocket science hunting and fishing enthusiasts figured out that we could throw a little camel on that same clothing and then market it, and there's a bunch of companies out there doing it. It's the same stuff that mountaineering guys have been wearing for years. Follow their lead. They're right. They're smart. It's about a 3, sometimes 4 layering system, but it works, and you can adjust it to your whatever environment you're in.
Yeah, I mean, in extreme conditions, when you're not moving around much, is when you, of course, need the warmest. And we were talking in other conversations, you know, they have this polar weight or a moderate activity weight and all that. But when you're just sitting there doing nothing, you want the best there is, don't you?
I do. I mean, when I'm laying on the ice, I'm not going to lie, I'm bundled up. I mean, I look like the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, the technology is there, and I know the best stuff is expensive, but it's also made well, so it should last a long time. What's your experience there?
Yeah, that's the truth. I mean, you can buy a whole bunch of cheaper stuff, and you've got the same amount of money into a bunch of cheap stuff as you do with buying the good stuff once. You're just happier. If it's your sport, if it's your activity that you love to do, why not just go ahead and spend the money on what you want and what you need?
That's Darren Rowe of Rowe Outfitters. And that's one opinion on how to keep warm. His number, 541-884-3825 for fishing or hunting. Go to rowoutfitters.com. We'll have more conversations about the material we wear throughout the program. Right after the break, Dan Bacher, stay with us. I'm not sure what Dan Bacher is going to talk about. I have a feeling it's going to be how Sacramento County and Stockton and Waterboard sued the State Water Resources Control Board and the Bureau of Reclamation and the Department of Water Resources for holding illegal meetings. They broke the law again. My, what a surprise. Let's talk.
Well, it wasn't going to be that, but now that you mentioned it, that is a great topic to talk about. I was going to talk about the salmon season,
yep,
or the meeting that was held.
Well, actually,
by the
Dan,
Fish and Wildlife.
Actually,
and
Dan. First of all, good morning.
Good morning.
And that's a good subject. But at 7 o'clock, I'm going to have Harry Morse on, and we're going to get into detail in that.
Okay, I'm definitely listening to that because that guy is one of the sharpest guys
he's the best.
What I like about him is he can see nuance in situations.
Yeah.
And I pretty much agreed with the assessment he has. It's mixed.
Yeah.
It's mixed reports. There's some good stuff happening, and there's some really bad stuff happening.
Yeah. But anyway, about this suit, now, what a surprise it is that the Department of Water Resources and the Bureau, once again, are accused of illegal activities.
Right.
I mean, these people, what I don't understand over the years is these people have broken the law more than any other agency, and anybody else would be in jail. Nothing ever happens to these guys. Nothing.
No, nothing.
The law means nothing. Let's pass this law, and when they break it, with these guys over here, let's not do anything to them. Just like in the Bureau illegally gave the water districts, what, $55 to $70 million in their studies of the tunnels.
Right.
What was done there? Nothing.
Yeah, absolutely
yeah.
Nothing. But this is, was Bill Jennings said, oh, I don't know if it was a year ago or 6 months ago, but he was saying the only species that's doing real good in the Delta now is lawyers. And that's because it's the governor and the federal government, to a lesser extent, are continuing with this drive to build the tunnels, even though it doesn't make any scientific, economic, or financial sense.
Yeah, try to find a non-bought and paid-for scientist that goes along with this. You can't do it.
Right. And, you know, the Public Records Act's request disclosed all these communications between Department of Water Resources and the State Water Resources Control Board
and the Bureau of Reclamation.
Yes.
As far back as 2015.
Right. And, you know, this in other words, they're in collusion, yet the State Water Resources Board, you know, ruled that, yeah, that happened, but that's not enough to delay the plan. Now, on that basis, the thing should be definitely delayed or halted, just on the basis that you're having these illegal communications. Mm-hmm. But the other reason why this thing needs to be suspended, probably till the next governor comes in, is because there's no reason to build these tunnels, number one, and number two, there's way too many people involved in right now in trying to get more water both to Southern California and to corporate agribusiness in the San Joaquin Valley. But at the same time, they're portraying this tunnels project as a way to restore salmon and also as a way to create water security, and it won't do either.
It's not going to create
a new drop of water.
The scientists say you can't restore it if you're taking water away from the system. When you take water out of the Sacramento River and prevent it from getting to that system they're trying to protect, you can't save it.
Right.
So, and you know what this suit, for everybody's information, Sacramento County, Stockton, water boards, and some environmental groups sued the State Water Resources Control Board on all this. And one of the objections was they felt that project opponents like us, like a lot of people in this area, won't receive a fair hearing in this proceeding.
Right.
And, of course, we haven't had it hasn't been fair since Governor Brown took this whole proceeding out of the hands of the voters.
Right.
And to me, that's the most that's disgraceful that he would do something like that, but he's a control freak, you know?
Exactly.
And here's something else. I mean, we've talked before. Brown has done some good things. We don't want to get nitpicky there, but in our area of interest, which is the outdoors and fish and wildlife, their habitat, and that means water, you know, if time after time, if the agencies that work for you, like Oroville made a complete fool out of himself, the Department of Water Resources, on the whole Oroville thing, and then now they get accused of having illegal secret meetings, wouldn't the governor be the first to say, this is unacceptable, I don't expect my departments to partake in? You don't ever hear a peep out of his mouth on this stuff.
Right.
He doesn't care.
But there's one other key reason why this whole crazy thing shouldn't proceed forward, and that's the fact that the governor and Metropolitan Water District and contractors are now supporting a phased project,
mm-hmm.
two phases, where you build the tunnel one tunnel first and you build the other one later. And that's a new project, because if it's going to be built in phases, it's going to have a different construction schedule, and it has to be redone. You can't, it's not the exact same project. It's a different project. And what the water board is arguing is that it's this, the same project, so it doesn't have to go through another environmental review. So, I mean, just on those two bases, the fact that you've had illegal meetings and the fact that it's a new project, it's a revised project, they shouldn't be conducting these hearings. And it's maddening to go to these hearings. I've been to two of them so far to see the water board and the staff trying to argue that it's really not a new project, yeah, even though it is.
It's they constantly deceive people on this whole thing. They're just trying to grab a shortcut. The thing that bothers me the most on this is the people of this state, every citizen in this state, is at the bottom of the priority list with water.
And we're not the constituents.
We're not
Westlands, Stuart Resnick's farms, and the water contractors are their constituents.
That's right. And you know, how can they already get over 80% of our diverted water, and we have to go on water rationing? You know, that just doesn't make sense. They got their priorities all screwed up. To me, the people should come first. I mean, as people, if we could use all the water we want for all the irrigation, water our lawns every day and everything, it still doesn't amount to more than 10% of the water for 30-some-odd million people.
Right.
And we're fighting to keep that, and we've already lost it. So, anyway. But listen, do try to listen in to Harry Morris, because I had a conversation with him yesterday, and the things go far beyond what comes out in a Fish and Wildlife release. They don't mention a lot of things, you know, as a deterrent. You know, they mention the drought and poor ocean conditions. They don't mention the Bureau of Reclamation almost wiping out a complete fall run of Sam. They don't do any of that. So we're going to get into that, but we're going to get into, more so than that, we're going to get into why the federal government now almost has to take control, because the state and other entities didn't do a good job of protecting these species. So please try to listen, will you?
Yeah.
And thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Dan Bakker of the Fish Sniffer. We will be doing that just after 7 o'clock. So lots before then. Stay with us.